And for those of you who haven't met them, that's Kara, and we also have Courtney over there, who are visitors from Liberty this weekend with us. So there's a song we sang this morning that's been like almost a tradition for us since the kids were real little, and that's Up From the Grave He Arose. We used to sit down, and then we'd sing Up For the Grave He Arose, we'd dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and all the kids and adults would stand up, and yeah, that was great. So good news from a far country is like cool water to a thirsty soul. Isn't it good to hear some good news from Kentucky? It's good to hear some good news about God moving. And we hear all these, turn on the news, you get depressed, the regular news. But then you turn on the news at church and you're like, yeah, it's like cool water to a thirsty soul. And I got a text from Keith last night, and he was telling me to do something with the music. I didn't know David was going to be here. And so the girls practiced that last night and this morning. But, oh, they didn't practice that one. They practiced some other ones. They were just, that was in the lineup. They said, which one do you like? I said, no. But, but it makes you really thankful for gifted people that are here with us, right, in the body. Especially, like, sometimes we take people for granted, and then it's like they're not here. And it's like, whoa. Thank God for David. Thank God for Keith. Thank God for Mark. Thank God for these people that do all the music. Thank God for Pastor Eric Handel. How many really thought that was a great message last week? That was what I would call a hallmark message. Like, it's one that should be like have a little star beside it. Listen to that one again. And if you didn't hear it, go listen to it. It was really good. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. We just pray that you will revive us with your word, with things we know in our spirit, and show us new things too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this message is an oldie but goodie that I learn and relearn, and God reveals to me over and over again. And many of you know, I think David actually gave the message in one sentence when he was talking earlier. But many of you know it. But if you don't, I hope that God would bless you with it. And if you do, just I hope that God blesses you with it, because he blesses me with it all the time. And I was thinking, too, that we have so many layers of demonic attack that we don't even, oftentimes we walk around and we're not thinking about it. We were talking about this last night. Kara's grew up in Papua New Guinea. Her parents are missionaries. And so I was asking her if they have witchcraft and stuff out there, and we got to talking about demons. And just individually, we come under attack. Our families come under attack. Our households, our town and county's under attack. The schools are under attack. You know, individually, there's all these different areas of attack. But thank God we come here to listen to the news. You know, we come here to listen to the gospel, which is for our salvation, but it's also for our deliverance, right? The death, burial, and resurrection. Like, that's the gospel, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about that some this morning, but something that just kind of, along with that, has hit me was being his disciple. And, you know, I think we all believe that we don't need to do works in order to get saved. Like, we need to believe in Jesus Christ, and it's all Jesus. He did it all on the cross, and we receive it as a gift. And in some sense, we don't need to do works to walk with God either. But there's a distinction, I believe, between somebody who is saved, like in Jude, even his clothes burn with fire, smoking up, and somebody who is a disciple. And so, let me turn this on. Got to turn it on. Uh-oh. Well, I got to press it again. I just learned how to do this last week. Eric Handel was doing this. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool, Carissa. I should take a PowerPoint class. She's like, that's easy. Just do this. And I was like, okay, well, we'll do that. Well, that's nice. You get separate slides almost. So if you want to be my disciple, and I use the New Living Translation because what I normally use was just like basically hate everybody. But this puts it kind of in context. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father, your mother, your wife, and your children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. And that's pretty hardcore, right? How about this one? It's the same section. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And so a disciple, and the whole message isn't going to be about discipleship, but a disciple is an imitator or follower, kind of like an apprentice. And you think of the movie Chosen or something, you think of like Socrates or different people. They had their disciples were following them around and learning. They were learning, but they were following and imitating what they were doing. And so like they had like, well, I'm a disciple of so-and-so. So that, oh, well, I know what you think then, right? Because you're a disciple of so-and-so. And so if you're the disciple of Jesus, you follow and imitate Jesus. And I always thought, yeah, I started watching The Chosen. First I watched it, and I watched the first or second one. I was like, this is stupid. That's not in the Bible. I'm not watching this. And then I had so many great people, like people of God, like I really admire their walk with God, saying, oh, The Chosen is so great. I'm like, maybe I should go watch it again. So I watched it again. I was a little bit more open-minded. And even though I saw things that they obviously took artistic license, I also drew things out that I hadn't thought about. And in that way, it's really good. And so one of the things that I always, tripped out on, I don't know how else to say it, was Matthew or any number of the disciples. And Jesus went along and he said to him, follow me. And they left all that they had and followed him. I'm like, whoa. You know, like, but in The Chosen, it kind of draws out that they actually had heard about him and then they had kind of been watching him at a distance maybe or had seen him. And then he said that, which could have happened too, but it doesn't say it happened in the Bible. It might have been like they saw like the Spirit and they looked in his eyes and they were like, whoa. This guy's powerful spiritually, and I want what he has, you know. I don't know which one it was, but they followed him, right? He said, follow me, and they followed him. And so we're supposed to go into all the world and make disciples. And in some sense, we say, follow me, right? As I pray, or as I study, as I do outreach, when I'm alone, as I follow Christ, and then to the cross, to the cross, and people will say, well, I don't know enough to go make disciples. Well, the message last week, Eric Handel said there were some girls under the bleachers praying at the high school. One of those girls said, let's go under the bleachers and pray. So she basically said, follow me. I'm going to go into the bleachers and pray. Let's go into the bleachers and pray. And I bet you they were praying that God would move in their school. And then they thought they were doing drugs, took them to the office, and the guy was like, you can use this room. And the room filled up with people, and God answered their prayer just by following somebody as they followed Christ. And also, Pastor Eric Handel, he had this drug buddy, who actually I know, but back in the old days, he had this drug buddy. And when he got saved, his buddy came to talk some sense into him and tell him he's on the wrong path. And he came up there and he basically didn't know what to tell him. He basically said, well, when you get in trouble, call out to Jesus. Like, he knew that much, right? And on his way home, David Moore, now Pastor David Moore, who has sent more people to Bible College from his church than any other church in Great Grace, David Moore got stopped by a state trooper and busted for drugs, and he called on the name of the Lord. And all Eric Kendall knew to tell him was, when you get in trouble, call on the Jesus, you know, call on the name of the Lord. And that's what he did. So he was following him in that, in what he knew, as he followed Jesus. And but, you know, so you think of an apprentice, but a biblical disciple is more than an apprentice. And apprentices will do things for money, even a helper or a gopher or a, I remember I was an apprentice. Before I went to the apprentice school in the shipyard, I worked for a plumber for a summer. And I crawled up under this house with the guy, and there were drug needles, trash, and rats up under there. And and I was like, man, they need to pay me more. You know, I'm not going into plumbing, you know. And so, but it's about the money, right? And you, the reason you learn is to get more money, right? But that's not how it is with the disciple of Jesus. There's going to be a cross, and it's not about the money. It's different than an apprenticeship. But and no one is going to go to the cross, which is actually something that you can't handle. The cross is something you can't handle. It's you cry out to God, and he handles it. No one's going to go to the cross with some other motivation other than love. Money isn't going to do it. You're not going to go get crucified on a cross for money, because if you're dead, what are you going to do with the money? And but motivated by love is what would motivate us. And so we can say to somebody, I receive God's love. Follow me in receiving God's love, right? And it happens all the time. We receive it over and over. And yeah, I fall. Don't follow me in falling, but follow me in getting back up. So did Jesus hate his own life in comparison? Yeah. And the love of the Father and the plan of God was higher to him. Remember the message last week, Acts 2:23, the plan of God, this plan of the Trinity. The love of the Father and the plan of God was higher to him than his own life. Did Jesus bear his cross and follow the Father? Yes. Did Jesus forsake all? Yes. And so when the disciples were first called, however they called, when he said, follow me, I can almost guarantee you they didn't know there was going to be a cross. They saw Jesus. They were like, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. They saw Jesus. They saw the Messiah. But they didn't know there was going to be a cross. Even when Jesus said, I'm going to suffer and die, Peter was like, oh, no, not so, Lord. You know, they didn't know there was going to be a cross. And a lot of times we don't realize it. But Jesus went to the cross, and whose sin was nailed to the cross? Your sin, my sin, which his sin, because he who knew no sin became sin for us. Your sin and my sin. Wait a minute. Okay. I got to click it twice. Yeah. He took our sin. He took it and made it his, even though it wasn't his. He didn't do anything to deserve it. He took it. And so that's yours and mine. And remember this word forgiven? Alpheme, forgive, forsake, lay aside, leave, omit, send away. Send away. And I want to be a disciple. How many people want to be a disciple? How many people want a cross? I don't want a cross. I want to be a disciple. I don't want a cross. There's nothing wrong with that. Because Jesus kind of didn't either, right? He said, Father, take this cup from me. Right? And so we look at what actually happened. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Has anybody ever said that? Am I the only one? Has anybody ever said that to God? Maybe not in those words, but you felt that, you thought that, and then followed God anyway? That's a disciple. That's a disciple. What are you doing, God? I don't understand this. Why are you forsaking me? I don't understand it, but I'm going to the cross anyway. I'm going anyway. And that's what Jesus did. And we're an imitator and follower of him. Even though we might have these feelings, we go anyway. Not like a monk. Like a monk goes to the cross, they whip themselves on their backs, you know, and they're like, I have to kill the flesh. I have to punish myself. No, I don't want to go to the cross. So why would I do that? I'm only going if he wants me to go, right? Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I don't think he wants you whipping yourself on the back. So, which leads us to, this is kind of the central message here, Romans 6. Remember that, Romans 6. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized? I was reading this word baptized. It's like some Greek word that the scholars that translated it were scared to translate it in English because the king at the time was sprinkling people. So they were like made up baptismo or something, you know, and it wasn't even a word. But it means immersed. As many of you as were immersed into Christ Jesus were immersed into his death. So how many were immersed into Christ Jesus? Amen. I'm immersed into Christ Jesus. How many are immersed into his death? You know, it's like we don't think of that, but we were. We're immersed into his death. And then knowing this. We know this. Do we know it? Well, the Bible says it. The Bible says it. I believe it. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. So we know this. And then likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin. This word reckon can also be translated consider, but it's like take account. Like this is a fact. So we know it, and the Romans knew it, but we really know it because it's written right here. Like we have the word of God right here. It says it. We know it. And then the Holy Spirit tells us too, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, and reckon it. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. So that a lot of times, that's a cross for us. There's many, many crosses. Like you might have to deal with sickness and not get bitter and just accept God's will, whatever it is. Many things. But this is one of them. With our own sin nature, dealing with ourselves, we have to put it on the altar. We have to give it to God, but we have to recognize that he has done the work, and we have been crucified with him. And so reckon yourselves dead. I was thinking about that message last week's really in my mind. He was like, God's playing with time, right? He said something like that. He's playing with time. Well, when you're reckoning yourselves dead, you're playing with time, right? It's an eternal thought because you look at yourself, you're like, I'm not dead. Well, you can see that, like, in one sense you are, but even physically we're not dead, but when we look at our sin nature, which is what it's talking about, we're crucified with Christ. We say, my flesh isn't dead. Look at what I thought. Look at what I did. I'm not dead. But what does the Bible say? It says, knowing the old man was crucified. Knowing that, reckon it. Reckon it. Consider it. And so instead of saying that, I say, oh yeah, God who calls things which they do not exist as though they did. As though he says this exists, even though it doesn't exist. Like, he does that. He said, I am. He said, I am. So we reckon it. How do we reckon it? By faith. So first, we know that an old man was crucified with him. And second, we reckon, we take an account as a fact, ourselves dead to sin. And this is a cross sometimes. This is a cross because we don't see it. We don't see it. We actually agree with the Father. But that's only half the story. A disciple doesn't end identifying with the cross. Like, we do identify with the cross, but that's not where our discipleship ends. Because when we're following Jesus, right? Jesus went to the cross, but then where did he go? To the grave. Then where did he go? He rose, right? He rose. And so that's only half the story. So if you have a half truth, it's a lie. If you go around saying, I've been crucified with Christ, I've been crucified with Christ, I don't have any life, but I've been crucified with Christ, that's a half truth, that's a lie. But we have life. You've been crucified with Christ, and you're alive. And so he says, follow me. And let me back up a little bit. So Jesus Christ makes intercession for us, right? How does he do that? Is it Jesus on the cross doing that? You know, it's like you see some crosses and Jesus is still on the cross. Like, is that the Jesus that's making intercession for us? No. Is it the Jesus in the grave that's making intercession for us? No. It's the Jesus in heaven. It's the living. Hebrews 7:25. He always lives to make intercession. He's alive making intercession, right? So, like, sometimes prayer for us is a cross, right? So when you enter in and you submit to God that, okay, my flesh doesn't want to do this, but I'm reckoning it dead, there actually comes from that a life. There's a life that springs out of his death. And it's his death, not ours. We don't go whipping ourselves around the back and say, I got to pray 24 hours a day because I'm going to be alive. No, that doesn't work. It's actually his death. It's his. We enter into him, and it's his life. And so how do we make intercession for others? Can we make intercession for others with our old man? Nope, doesn't work. We can pray all day with our old man. Doesn't work. But the new man, we reckon our flesh dead to sin but alive to God. And therefore, we were buried with him through immersion into death. We were immersed into death. That just as Christ, so we're imitating him, we're following him, we're disciples of him. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. So that's amazing. And then we have the rest of the story. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And the rest of the story. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Death doesn't have dominion over Jesus. He's been raised from the dead. For the death that he died to sin once for all. How many times? Once. So, like, it's like we surrender to God, and it's really, it's based on his death. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, that's like him. You follow him. You imitate him. You also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, because Jesus reckons himself to be dead to sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He became sin for us, but he's not sin anymore. He died, he crucified it to the cross, he wiped out the handwriting of requirements, and he rose from the dead. And it's like, it says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that could be the end of the message too. But, so I'm going to take a little aside from Romans, and there's a couple other ones that are really good, like Galatians 2:20. You've memorized that, most of you, some of you. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, right? because I'm dead, right? The life that I now live in my body, I live by faith. You know, it's the same, and here in Colossians, it's a similar one. Let me get this one, Colossians. Buried with him in immersion, in which you also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of the flesh, he has made alive. He's made you alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. He sent him away. He sent him away. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So that's what happened to the sin. Nailed to the cross, sent away, wiped out. So because of that, we have a therefore. Anytime you see a therefore, you wonder what it's there for. And we'll get to that. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Present yourself as a disciple, as alive from the dead, and your members and instruments of righteousness to God. So therefore, what is therefore? Therefore, because we know our old man was crucified with Christ, and we reckon ourselves dead to sin but alive to God. And then therefore, because of that, we can present ourselves to God. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ did. In Romans 12:1 has the word present also. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Isn't that what Jesus did? He presented himself, and he was innocent. After Jesus did it on the cross, we present ourselves. After we reckon, we know and we reckon, and we present. And then going back to Colossians, here's another little aside kind of. If then you were raised with Christ, and this is, I think it's called like a first class condition or something. It means in you were. You were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So seek those things above. Set your mind on things above because of this same concept that's in Romans 6. We present our bodies, and then we seek those things which are above. And what are the things above? I just brainstormed a little bit. We could probably sit here for years and talk about that. But, right from the scripture, it says, you were raised with Christ, and Christ is at the right hand of God. That's above. And then if you seek the things on the earth, well, you're in the flesh. You're not raised with Christ. You're a human mortal that's a dirty, rotten sinner. And then Colossians 3:5, it says, things on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, lust. And so you could say purity and cleanness. Evil desire, good or godly desires. Covetousness, which is idolatry. You could say, be content with what you have. That's seeking what's above, because it's the opposite of this. Giving. Be happy for other people's success. And then here's a couple more that are in Colossians, right below it. Things of the earth, anger, wrath, and malice. Things above. Tender mercies, kindness, and humility. Filthy language, and don't lie to each other. Earthly and above is meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, forgiving one another. Wait, forgiving one another? That's above? I focus on other people, and I don't want to forgive them. Well, we'd put that over here. Anyway, so forgiving one another is from above, and love is the bond of perfection. The word is from above, right? It came from above. Jesus Christ came from above. And faith in the word is from above, whereas sight, walk by sight, sight would say, I haven't been crucified with Christ. Look at me. I'm not a new creation. And faith would say, well, God said it and I believe it. The supernatural versus the natural. the spirit versus the flesh. You could go into a lot of different things, even things that could go either way, like your job. You could do it unto the Lord and be content, or you could it could be the end all to your life and a striving rat race and your whole identity. Your house. Over here, it could be a place of familiarity where you take everybody for granted and argue a lot. Right? And over here, it could be you could have humility at your house, too, just like you have outside your house. And it's harder. I'll admit that because you're around everybody all the time to not be familiar. But your car, just something simple. Seek those things which are above and not on the earth. Well, your car is on the earth, right? But it's a gift from God. God gave you the car. Hallelujah, I have a car. You know, this is God's car. Or you could be like one of two different ways. Two extremes could be on the earth. This thing's a burden. It's always breaking down. I'm complaining about my car. Or it could be, oh, let me wash my car every day and glorify my car, and I need a new car every 6 months. You know, either way, it could be on the earth. Family, we kind of talked about that with your house, but it's a gift from God. Or how about when there's a death in my family, a divorce in somebody's family? Well, over here we would say, I get bitter, depressed, and my focus is on myself, and I get upset with God. Over here, Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's a hard one, right? Church, discerning the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, edification, or me in a social club. Problems. God's faithful. Are you trying to teach me something, God? Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Right, put your hope in God. Or from the earth, things of the earth. Woe is me, discouraged and bitter. Things above. You can pray to God, or you can pray to be seen by men. Or you can pray or not pray because you're scared to be seen by men. You could give to God, or you could give to be seen by men. You could worship God, or you could make sounds and motions to be heard by men. Time, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Or you could be extremely busy and have no time for God. Or you could be too lazy and not want to get up for God. Or you could just be unfocused. And I can be all three of those, but I'd rather be this one. And or in time, you could live in the past and not look forward. And then live in the past, it could be a number of things, like church was so great back then, God moved, but he's not moving now, and I'm just going to complain all day. Or it could be, I've wasted my whole past, and I wasn't obedient to God back then, so God's never going to use me. But, or you could have a things above, God restores the years the locust has taken, and God is almighty, and he can handle it. I can just walk with God by faith and know that he's a good God. And there's a reward there. And, yeah. So Romans 6 has this kind of central theme. Crucified with Christ, alive to God. But there's another theme before that and after that, which it comes out, if you look in the chapter before, it says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And it's talking about, the subject is like, how high and how big, if you read Romans 5, God is, and his grace is. And then it goes into Romans 6, but it's still talking about not using God's grace. It's still talking about grace. Should we sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. And then we look at Romans 6:11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. What if yesterday I did do that? I presented my members as instruments of unrighteousness. Well, don't do that. You put off the old man, you put on the new man, right? It's like taking your jammies off and putting your pants on. It's pretty simple. You do this. You put on the new man. Present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. And so this verse here. So we got grace here, and we got grace here. And I love this thought here. Sin shall not have dominion over you. How many times does Satan tell you that sin has dominion over you? But the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. It does not have dominion over you. And so are you going to believe the Bible, or are you going to believe Satan? Does Satan have you down, up against the ropes, ready to tap out? Too bad, you can't. You're already declared the winner. He always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. We are the church that cannot be defeated, right? The gates of hell cannot prevail against us. It's his doing and not ours. Grace is a gift. We only have the capacity in Christ and the new mind and the new man to walk this way, which is a gift. And so here's the question. Do you have a problem with sin? The answer should be yes and no. Yes, we all have a problem with sin. And then the other answer should be no, because sin shall not have dominion over you. And does Jesus have a problem with sin? No. Are you immersed into Jesus? Yes. Does Jesus have a problem with sin? No. But he did, kind of, right? Because he was nailed to the cross for it. Like, he became sin for us, and that was a problem, but he dealt with the problem. That's why he came to earth, to deal with that problem. And does he now? No. He's risen from the dead. That's why the resurrection is so important. If he was just killed and in the grave, then he'd still have a problem with it, because death would have had victory over him. But he had victory over death. He doesn't have a problem with sin anymore. He crucified it. He wiped it out. He gives us grace. So in conclusion, we have grace. We know our old man was crucified. We reckon it. Even though we don't see it, we reckon it. We consider it. And then we present ourselves. And then there's more grace. There's grace at the beginning and grace at the end. And if you fall, you always go back to here. You go back to number one. Boop. And just follow that trail right on down. Submit to God's thought. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He has risen. He has conquered death. We're free to walk and follow him. Why are we free to walk and follow him? Because grace. Grace actually gives us the freedom to fail. But grace doesn't keep us there. When we actually see God's grace, it also changes us. We're being changed from glory to glory. We walk from faith to faith. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We want to be your disciples. We don't want crosses in our life, but nevertheless, not our wills, but your will be done. We will follow you, Lord. We believe you. We trust you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. If there's anybody here who's never accepted Jesus as your Savior, call on the name of the Lord now. Cry out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need what you did on the cross for me. I believe that you died, were buried, and rose again. I want to go to heaven when I die, and I receive that. I receive your provision for my sin, for my life. And if there's anyone here today who is not a disciple but wants to be a disciple, just surrender to him. Surrender to the Word of God. Surrender to the gospel message, which is not only for your salvation, but it's for your deliverance. That Jesus Christ died and you were immersed in him. You were buried with him and you rose again with him. Just surrender to God and tell God, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to walk with you. I want to follow you. I want to imitate you. I don't want to cross, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.